But would you welcome Bill to the pulpit today?
Thank you, Pastor. Well, it is a homecoming in a lot of ways for Mary and I here because both of us grew up here on the north side. I lived on Federal Street Extension. Many of you know where that's at. She lived on Dunlap up on Pearsville Avenue. We went to Perry High School here. So this is home for us in a lot of ways. And when we were missionaries. We were missionaries to an island called Samoa, which is in the South Pacific. I always describe it like this. If you don't know where Samoa is, go to Hawaii, make a left turn. 2,000 miles there in the middle of nowhere is a little island called Samoa. And that's sort of one of the reasons why I'm wearing a jersey is with that name on the back, Troy Polamalu, who is Samoan. So that's sort of my connection to homecoming. Like I said, this is our home. We now live in Cannonsburg. We moved there about a little over a year ago to be next to our grandkids. You grandparents know you chase your grandparents. Where's that going? And so we do that. We moved down to Cannonsburg for that. But as Pastor said, that was my office right there. And so I noticed it's full of junk there. I don't know if that means anything. My name is not on the door anymore. But that was my little office there. And Pastor John Holt and the board had a vision to start Pioneer Church over in Lawrenceville area. And that's where we were contacted. We were back from the mission field, came on staff here, and was part of launching that church, which is still there 25, 30 years. We were there for 7 years. And then we went to Walnut Grove Assembly of God, which is in Lawrenceville. And we pastored there for 30 years. And that makes me, I'm 43 years old. No, I lied. I'm 44 years old. 73 years young. That's how I feel. Amen. But you know you never retire from ministry. Whether you're a pastor or a Christian, you never retire from serving the Lord. And so we retired 3 years ago. As I said, we moved on to Cannonsburg, but New Day Assembly, Pastor Seth Boer, who you know well then, said, hey, Pastor, would you be willing to come help us? So Mary and I are now on staff there, too. So they keep sucking us back in, right? But it's great to be here. Just a little housekeeping. During COVID, I don't know how you handled COVID being locked down like that, but during that time, God began to speak to me about writing. You know, you put things off. And so I've always been interested in military history. And so God began to deal with me about writing a book. And I wrote a book on the Civil War. You might say, oh, that's so long ago. What relevance does that have with us today? I'm going to tell you a lot of relevance. It's important you as Americans to know where you've been so you know where you're going. And so God laid on me to write a devotion. I wrote a devotion called Lincoln's Ghost because Abraham Lincoln, the things he did, the things that happened in that war, they still ring true. And so I wrote a devotion on that, and that's going to be in the back if you want to buy that. And I also, about 2 years ago, I wrote another book. As I said, I grew up here on the north side. If you are a baby boomer, you enjoy this book. It's a fun book. It's not a spiritual book, but it's about growing up here in Pittsburgh as a kid in that 40s, 50s, 60s, 70 years as a kid. What an awesome time to be a kid. You know, no internet, not much on television except Saturday mornings, right, for kids. And where did we do most of our playing? Outside, right? And so it's a book like that. And for you who read it, after you read about my shenanigans, you'll be happy that I was not in your Sunday school. So they're in the back to purchase. They're $15, 2 for $30. How's that? And Nan and Frank here visiting with us, you can get a picture with the author for $50, just special for you, okay? All right, they're in the back, so that's enough of that commercial. But we got a big game today. Steelers do. They messed up. It should have been over. We should have been in the playoffs already. But we messed up. So the big game today, part of why I'm wearing a Steeler jersey, but that's only a small part. I am not here to lift up the Steelers. I'm here to lift up Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we're here for. But I do want to share some facts. You know, you'll understand why I'm sharing these facts when we go to our scripture. But let me share you some information about an NFL game that you might not be aware of. In total, you know, when they run a play, the offense runs a play, and then we get off the field after three downs, and the other team gets up. You know how many plays are run in an NFL game? 130 on average. So 130 times that ball was snapped, okay? You know how much actual playing time is in an NFL game that's an hour long? They're only actually playing for 15 minutes. You didn't know that? From the time they snap the ball to they run with it or pass it to the guy is tackled, you know how many time goes by? 11 seconds. So actually, it's only 11 seconds of something happening. In a total, for the whole game, it's only 15 minutes long. And for individual players, the starters, the guys who are out there almost every snap, their average playing time is 8 to 11 minutes. Think about that for a second. When some of these guys are making $40 million a year and only working for 8 minutes a week. And if you're not a starter, you're a punter, or you're on special teams, or you're one of those guys that only runs out and plays on certain situations, you're less than that. So it's important, if you're a player, to make the most of your opportunity, right? Especially if you want to win a job, and there's only 8 minutes to show the coach how good you are. Or if you're a punter or special teams, you might have like 3 minutes to show them that they should keep you. So these players have to make the most of their opportunities because the opportunities are very small and go by really, really quick. And that brings us to our scripture. And so if you have your Bibles, we'll have it up on a screen too. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Yeah, there it is. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. We know that part. But we usually don't quote the second part of that verse. Whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. For in the realm of the dead, where you are going, where we're all going, there's neither working, nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom. Just like those players, they only have a short window to work. They only have a small amount of time small opportunity to play. It goes for us. It says when you, while we're alive, while we got something to do, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Why? Because the opportunities, the time is short. There's a key word. It's not, I want to talk about, it's not in that verse, but I've used it a number of times already. And that word is opportunity. What are you doing with the opportunity of the life you have right now? When we know the players here at 8 o'clock are going to take that opportunity to win that game. And I got a feeling if you buy all my books, we're going to win that game. But if we lose that game, there are no refunds, okay? I'm just telling you that right now. But they're going to take an opportunity to win that game. And some are only going to get on that field for a few seconds. I hope we don't have to punt much. I hope our punter never gets on the field. Small amount of time, folks. I thank God for the 73 years he's given me. How much more time do I have? I don't know. But I know this. Less than I had before 73. What are you doing with the opportunity? Brothers, sisters, what are you doing with your life? For the Lord. Because our time, in the big scheme of things, is very short. We only get so many opportunities in life. And here, I have two questions. Are you looking for them? Because they show up if you're looking for them. Are you looking for opportunities to serve the Lord? Are you looking for opportunities to lift his name high? Because they will be there. And when you see them, will you use them? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that, Lord, your word, not my words, your word would speak. Holy Spirit, I ask, Lord, you not use what I have planned here on paper, what I've written down. God, if you want to change it, change it. Lord, we say to you, like Samuel said, that little boy, when you kept calling his voice, his name by your voice, he said, "Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening." Lord, we say the same thing this morning. Speak, O Lord, because your servants are listening. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I had the opportunity as a young person to play football. You know what Pop Warner is. That's when you're little, you get to play Pop Warner football. And then when you get old enough, you go to high school and you play high school football. So I had an opportunity to play Pop Warner football here on, we called it the Northside Little Giants years ago. And Perry High School, I got to play for them. So I had an opportunity to play football, but I also had an opportunity to coach football. So my son, and I see Skip here. There he is in the back. We helped coach the Northside Saints. What a wrong name for that team, okay? The Northside Saints, okay? But I got to coach. My son played for the Northside Saints. Skip's sons played for Northside Saints. So an opportunity to see my son play, but also to coach the team. and later on got to coach St. Cyril's high school team. So I want to speak to you this morning some lessons that I learned from the sidelines. And these lessons, God wants to speak to you through his word. You know, there's a saying among coaches, you'll play like you practice. You play like you practice. You heard that, Skip? Means if you don't give it your all in practice, and you don't try hard, and you don't hone your skills in practice, it shows up in the game. If you try hard at practice, you're going to play hard in the game. If you learn to listen and hone your skills in practice, you'll use them in a game. So we try to instill that to these young men. Did you play like you practice? Now, for football, we practice 5 days a week. Game was on Saturday. 5 days a week. Takes commitment. In high school, we got up early. Practice started, football practice started in August. If some of you remember, August, horrible. Pennsylvania, it's hot and it's humid. And we had to be at the field at 7:30, still mist on the ground. And we're running around. And this was before the days where they felt that they made you tough if they didn't give you water. I mean, we're dehydrated. We're struggling. No, you don't drink any water. Wimps drink water. We're dying. They gave you salt pills. The exact opposite of what you needed, okay? Practice was hard, but you showed up because you wanted to be part of the team and you wanted to get better. You got up early and you stayed late. You gave up things. Other kids were out goofing around. You were out there sweating, getting beat on, getting yelled at. Takes commitment. You will play like you practice. Let me tell you a sobering statistic. The average Christian in America goes to church less than twice a month. It's 1.7. I don't know how they got that. The average Christian in America goes to church only 17 times a year. That's practice. Do you know this is practice here? This is where we get ready for that game called life. This is where we get ready for when we go out the door to face the enemy, to face adversity, to face the world, to be lights to the world. We got to come to practice. And we tell those little kids, and we tell those kids in high school, and also tell the pros, you got to show up for practice because it will definitely show up on game day how hard you worked and your attitude. It's no different than the Christian world. It's no different. So let me teach you as an ex-coach on the sidelines, but also let me teach you as a pastor, is how we behave and the commitment we do to the house of God and the things of God show up in the game called life. You need to pay attention to the coach. Right now I'm the coach. Assistant coach. See, in coaching, we have all these motivational type things we say to get them riled up. Remember those, Skip? Let me give you a few. There's no I in team. There's no I in team. It means we work together as a team. You know, if you're a prima donna or just about yourself, it shows up during the game. But there's no I in team, so we tell the kids, you're part of something. You got to work together. Here's another one. Teamwork makes the dream work. You have a dream? You want to be the champion? Want a dream? You want to win this game? You got to work as a team. It's relevant to the church, folks. Got dreams for Bethel Assembly of God? It's the team that makes the dream. Here's another one. Leave it out. Leave it all out on the field. Use all your energy. Use all your mental, focus. Let it be all out there on the field. So when you leave, when they, blow that whistle and say the game's over, we want you to come exhausted because you gave it your all. You left it all out on the field. Someday, as our verse said, we're not going to be able to do things with all our might because we're going to be gone. Can it be said of us by our Lord, our coach, you left it all out on the field? Here's another one. Football is a game of inches. Heard that one? It's not a game of 100 yards. It's a game of inches. Sometimes you see that in a game. It's fourth down in inches. Or they're an inch or this far away from the goal line. Should they go for it or kick a field goal? It's a game of inches. Well, life's like that too. It's the small things. It's the small things in life that you say yes to or you say no to that determine if you're a success for God. Here's another one. Hard work beats talent. Hard work beats talent. You know, pastors, I'll speak as pastor, I'll speak for you right now, Pastor Dan. You know what we would rather have? People who are hardworking and dedicated over talent. What if we got the most talented musician or the most talented speaker or Sunday school teacher, but they only show up 1.7 times a month? Or you got some other person who's not as talented as a musician and isn't as great as teacher. Isn't it the most charismatic person, but they are there at every service? I'll take that person. And I'm speaking from experience. Hard work is always beats talent. How about this one? Success is earned, not given. You work for it. There's a funny one we used to say to the kids. I want you to hit that guy so hard, his grandmother feels it. Must be a grandmother said that. But the point was, give it all. Hit that other guy so hard, his grandmother in the stands is saying, you hit my boy. Listen to the coach. You think we're up here just to entertain you? We're not here to entertain you. We're to build you and encourage you and love you. Listen to the coach. But some kids don't listen. So anyway, I'll give you a true story, Northside Saints story. So we're have the kids sitting down, and we're giving them one of these rah-rah motivation. Leave it out on the field, and you know there's no I in team, and you know hit that person so hard their grandmother feels it, and we're getting them all riled up. And some little kid raises his hand. And he said, hey coach. I said, what? He said, look at the butterfly. He just didn't get it. I think it's cute. But he wasn't listening. Because we get distracted, don't we? Even in a church service. Even right now. Are you paying attention? Are you listening? I knew kids who were just happy to be on the team. They wanted that jersey. They wanted that number. They wanted to brag to their friends, I'm on the Northside Saints. They could care less about playing. They could care less about getting in a game. They could care less about practice. But they wanted this jersey. And they wanted to tell other people, I'm part of Northside Saints. Or, I'm part of Bethel Assembly. Ouch. Oh, you're part of that team. Oh, yeah. Do you go there? Every once in a while. See, some kids were just happy to get that jersey. They were perfectly satisfied sitting on the bench. We had kids, you know, because you gave them their uniform. You gave them their equipment, gave them that jersey. Game day comes. They didn't want in the game. They just wanted to sit on that bench. But look, I'm part of the team. They were completely satisfied sitting on the bench. Is that you? That's the bench. In case you didn't get the metaphor here, this is the bench right now. This is the coach telling you, quit looking at the butterfly and listen to what I'm saying, because there's a game going to happen when you leave here. And you're on the bench. Are you just happy that you showed up for church? Are you just happy that you can say, I went to church on Sunday, and someone says, what church? You said Bethel Assembly. Or Walnut Grove, or New Day, name a church, and say, but do you want to get off the bench and in the game? And let me tell you, I coach kids. They did not want on that field. They were quite happy sitting right there the whole game, every game, the whole season, but they had a jersey. Are you happy sitting on the pew? Let me tell you what coaches love to hear. Every coach. I'm going to tell you what coaches and, in parentheses, pastors. I'm going to tell you what every coach, every pastor loves to hear. Put me in, coach. Put me in. Not everybody has the same abilities, I get that. And I understand in the football world, the starters, the prima donnas, the most talented, they get the playing time. But I'm going to tell you, that's not the way it is in the kingdom of God. So I loved it when a small kid, a kid that didn't have a lot of talent, and the game's going on, and they'd come up and they'd tug on you. What? I'm busy. I'm looking at this. Hey, coach, put me in. Put me in. I don't want to sit on the bench. I want in the game. God, coach, put me in. Put me in. Although at times we couldn't, we loved hearing it. I got a feeling Jesus Christ would love to hear you say, put me in. And then you're on the field. Give me the ball. I want the ball. Let me run the ball. Throw me the ball. Well, you could get hit. I don't care. I want the ball. Well, those guys are big out there. I don't care. Give me the ball. See, that's what we're looking for as pastors. That's what God's looking at as the great coach. He wants to hear us say, give me the ball. Give me something to do. I want it in a game. I don't want to sit on the bench. And I know I'm not the best singer. And I know I'm not the best speaker. And I'm not the most gifted in coming up with ideas. Give me the ball. Please give me the ball. Put me in. I'll tell you on top of that. Coach, put me in at any position. Now, everybody wants to be the quarterback, the glory, the running back, you get the ball, the receiver, you catch it. Everybody wants to be those guys. Who wants to be the center? Nah, I don't want to be the center. I don't want to be the guard. I don't want to be a tackle. I don't want to be the punter. I want the glory positions. I want to be the quarterback, coach. Well, I can't use a quarterback. Will you play guard? No, I'm not interested in that. Hey, I want to run the ball. Well, I can't use a running back. Can I use you as a tackle? No, I'm not interested in that. We coaches and we pastors love to hear. Just put me in the game and I will do anything. I had little guys. They weren't fast. They weren't good at catching. They definitely couldn't be a quarterback. And they weren't really big enough for any position. But they'd come and they'd say, coach, put me in. And I'll play anywhere. Anywhere. I don't care if you put me on the line and no one even notices me. I don't care if you put me on the line and the guy across from me is 100 pounds bigger than me. I don't care. I just want to play anywhere. Well, that can't happen in the church. Oh, yes, it happens in the church all the time. Hey, pastor, I'd like to help you some way. Well, I can't really use you in the worship team, but would you be willing to serve food? Not too sure about that one. Pastor, I love to teach. You got a Sunday school position? Well, we're all full right now, but would you be a greeter? Not too sure about that. Where are the players who say, give me the ball, put me in a game, and I'll play anywhere? Where are they? Are they here? Or do we just have a bunch of quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs? Or do we have players who say, I'm not even wearing a jersey. I'm not only on the team. But I want off the bench. And I'll play anywhere. the best players and the best teams learn to deal with adversity. There's a thing called weigh-in. You don't do it in the pros because you can weigh 350 pounds in play. You know, there's no weight limits. But in the smaller, like the Pop Warner, like that kids who are 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, there's a weight limit. And so we had a thing called a weigh-in. Kids could only weigh a certain amount. If they could only weigh a certain amount for a position. Like, and some kids at 11 years old are huge. I don't know what they've been eating, but they're huge. So parents didn't want that 150-pound 11-year-old kid running the ball. So he had to play on the line. So there was this thing called weigh-in. And so at the beginning of the game, all the players from the other team would line up, and the players from our team would all line up, and there'd be a scale. And they'd one at a time go up, the coaches would watch, and they'd get weighed in. And if they were the right weight, they got to play. If they were overweight, they didn't get to play. So you had this big line of the opposing team. You know, some kids, they lost the game at weigh-in. Some kids on our team would see that team standing weigh-in. They'd say, they're too big. Did you see the size of him? You see how tall he is? There's no way we can beat them. We hadn't even started a game. And some kids we already lost. Well, that doesn't happen in the church, does it? Absolutely happens in the church. I'll give you a story. They're sent in the promised land. 12 spies, right? Remember the story? To spy out the land, to see what it's like. They come back and 10 of them say what? They're too big. They're like giants. Matter of fact, they're so big, I felt like a grasshopper. They had lost the game before they even crossed the Jordan River. They hit hard, coach. Yeah, they do hit hard. My first game, I think I was, how old was I? 10 years old. I was a running back because I was fast. But I wasn't big, but I was fast. And coaches think, since you're fast, you should be a running back. I had a play. My play, I still remember to this day, my play was called T-24. I won't get into statistics, but what T meant a T formation. What 24 meant, it meant me, the four back, was going to run through the two hole. Okay? First play of the game. Huddle together. Coach says, run T-24. Who's getting the ball? I am. Where am I running? Through the two hole. The ball was snapped. I run, and I met in the, before I can even get past the line, I am crushed by a big kid. Crushed me. I didn't want the ball again. Hurts. Run touchdowns is fun. Gaining 10 yards or 20 yards and just have them kind of trip you up and you fall on your own and you just glide. That's fun. Hit smack by a big kid, head on, full speed. No fun. Hurt. Coach. Don't give me the ball anymore. Don't call T-24. This is confession time, okay? Next time on the field are called, I was like, oh, I don't know. Faking it. Oh, I think I tore a hamstring. didn't even know what a hamstring was. Coach, I think I blew my ACL out. What's an ACL? I didn't know. I'm like, what, 10 years old? I didn't want back in. Oh, why? Because it hurts. I got hurt. Take me out of the game. Does that happen in a church? You get hurt. You get hurt. You know, people leave churches because they get hurt. And they won't want back in the game because they've been hurt. Is that you? Pastor said boo to you and you got hurt. Pastor didn't shake your hand and give you a hug. Pastor forgot to say happy Groundhog's Day to you. What, you know, something as trivial as that? Someone gave you a look. I know mean things happen, okay. I've been a Christian for 50 years. I've been a pastor for 40 years. I know the church can be hard. I know people can be mean. I know you get hit. So are you telling God, don't call my number anymore? Don't call my number. I'm not going to be part of any church. I'm not going to do anything because I got hit. The best players, the best teams, they get back up and they go and they say, call my number. I wish I would have said, coach, call T24 again. See, the best teams know how to deal with heartache. The best Christians know how to deal with heartache and wounds. And they get back up. See, everything's great when you're winning. I loved coaching the Northside Saints, Skip. I loved it. Did it for 6 years. My son went to every team, the little team, the middle team, the big team, for 6 years. I got to be part of that coaching staff, see them do great. 1 year, we were awesome. We were crushing teams. We were causing grandmothers to get hurt. Okay? But the big game, we were playing a North Hills team who had the same record as us. And so if we beat them, we'd be the champions. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing better to be on a team when you're winning. But you learn something about a team when you're losing. So we never lost. I think we were 6-0 or 7-0. Now we're doing a championship game against another team who's 6 or 7-0. First half, we're winning. We're running the ball on them. We're beating them. We're going to crush this team. Boy, that celebration at halftime was, yeah. I mean, we were laughing. We were happy. Second half, they start to come back. My boys, my team, are ripping their helmets off, throwing them down, pouting, crying. We lost. We couldn't even get our boys to shake hands. I learned something. It's easy when you're winning. And it's happy to praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, I love you. You're the best. And then you go through a heartache. and you get hit on T24, all of a sudden you don't show up for church. You're not going to raise your hands. You give up. You get angry. And the world's watching us. I was embarrassed for my team. I was embarrassed for myself. I was embarrassed for Northside. Because here is the North Hills, the wealthy, and their fans are in the stands, and they're looking and seeing how we behaved with losing. It was embarrassing. The world is watching you, folks. It's watching me. How you handle losing? How do you handle heartache? How do you handle when you get hit? How do you handle when life, you know, doesn't treat you right? How are you handling that? The world is watching because good teams know how to lose. What I'm thankful for is we're not going to experience that today because we're not going to lose that game. I'm not a prophet, so don't come back at me. But how do you handle loss? Do you want in a game? Are you listening to the coach? I have a worship video that I want to show at this time. And I want you to think as we're watching this video and worshiping with it, I want you to think of this one word, passion. Because you know what really keeps those kids that started when they were 9 years old and now they're in their 30s, but they're still playing football? You say it's the money. No, it's passion. They love that game. What keeps you in the church? What keeps you going? What keeps you serving? It has to be the same. It's called passion. Love for the things of God. Love for the house of God. Love for the people of God. That's what keeps you going. And so do we have that ready? That video? Can we show that? I'm going to ask you to stand and just worship with it and let the words speak to you.
To face a lifelong idol and burning, to open up my heart and let you search it, to fall down on my knees in earnest. God, give us courage. God, give us courage to love the ones who openly condemn us, to shine a light into the deepest darkness, to leave behind my mask and truly worship. God, give us courage. God, give us courage. Sing it bolder, bolder. We come into your presence. Sing it closer, closer. Let heaven fill the earth with holy fire, fire. Don't stop until our hearts are burning bolder, bolder now. Holy courage breaking out. To crucify my will in holy service, to never bow even if it means the furnace, to pledge my every breath 'cause you deserve it. Closer, closer. the strongholds start to break. Just the mention of his name. Let the captives leave their chains. Let the voices start to praise. Watch the miracles take shape.
Could we just stretch across the aisle, put our hands on each other's shoulders, please? We're a team, like a team, like a church, like a family. Boulder, courage, passion to use the opportunities given us, to look for the opportunities. Not just wait for them to happen, but look for them. Coach, put me in. Coach, give me the ball. Coach, I'll play any position. Coach, that last play hurt, but put me back in. Give me another chance. Father, this is your people calling. Called the great God, the mighty God, everlasting Father, great physician, wonderful counselor. And Lord, if you would just indulge me for a second, you're the head coach. We're your team. We're happy to wear your colors, red and white. Red because of your blood. White because you washed away our sins. Take us off the bench, Lord. Put us back in the game. Lord, where we are hurt, Lord, would you heal us? Where we're bitter, would you cleanse our minds? Where we've been selfish, may we bow to you and say whatever you want. So, Lord, I ask for Bethel Assembly, this team, these players, God, mightily use them for you. Because victory's with you always. We are victorious in you. And so, Lord, a blessing on this church. Blessing on Pastor Dan and his wife. And Lord, as we go off from the practice field onto the playing field, use us this day in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.